credit my next guest on Community Code as being the person responsible for the bulk of my WordPress career. And so I'm thrilled to be introducing you to John Hawkins, who you might know online as Vegas Geek. He's one of those WordPress community members who's been around long enough to have accidentally changed people's careers, including mine. In this episode, we get into the weird math of WordCamps, the stuff you can't measure, hallway conversations, after parties, teaching one small thing on a stage, and how those things can end up shaping your entire trajectory years later. We also talk about Zoom fatigue and why he is building in a sustainable agency that doesn't depend on the panic of next month's pipeline. If you ever wondered whether showing up is worth it, or if you're building things alone and starting to feel isolated, this one's for you. Welcome to Community in Code, the podcast where we talk to the human beings behind the commits. I'm here today with my friend John Hawkins. John is a very long-time WordPress developer. You ran your own agency, I think, for a while. Done lots of things. And I'm just so glad to have you on the podcast. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Chris, man. It's been a long time since we've chatted even. And
It has been.
Good to catch up, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to start by sharing the story. And we've talked about this before, too. One of the reasons why I'm really excited to have you on the show is because it was a presentation that you gave at WordCamp Salt Lake City. I think it was Salt Lake City. I think it was when it was Salt Lake City and not Utah, because there was a year when it was WordCamp Utah. It might have even been WordCamp Utah. It might have been that last year it was WordCamp Utah. But you gave a presentation on plugin development. And basically it was like, hey, if you're doing stuff in your themes functions.php file, you know enough stuff to write a plugin, and maybe you should think about just writing a plugin and, you know, branching out. And I was doing things in functions.php files, and I had never thought of myself at up to that point. I had still considered myself a web designer. I did not consider myself a developer. Just opening that door was enough to set me on a path to go really, really deep into the engineering of WordPress and plugin development and things. That says a lot for your presentation. It says a lot about WordCamps, about like what the effect that they can have. I'm super excited to have you on because I love that story. Like I love being able to share one of the reasons why I got back involved, or I got involved in speaking and doing documentation and things like that, was also because of that, because you inspired me.
I'll tell you, the first time you told me that story, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like it was so awesome. Now, all these years later, right, you've spoke at many events and blah, blah, blah. And you're up on stage and you're thinking, like, I sure hope I'm putting out something that somebody is going to connect with and maybe find useful. And so that was just such a powerful, like, hey, this stuff means something. I ran our WordPress meetup here in Vegas for many, many years. And I would always tell people, like, hey, you should come and speak. And they're like, oh, no, I'm no expert. I'm always telling them, you don't have to be an expert. You're here, and there's all these people that are right below where you're at, wishing they were at your level. Like that knowledge that you have is just, it's so great. And you just pass that on and it lights a spark in somebody. And then, you didn't think you were a plugin developer, but you were totally, you already were.
Right.
Like
I
didn't do anything. I didn't make you a developer. Apparently I just turned that light on and you're like, that connects. So awesome.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like, not like from the perspective of also being involved in meetups here and organizing WordCamp Salt Lake City myself, like it doesn't matter necessarily for you to be an expert. Like nobody is an expert. And I feel like there's this conversation that I've had about like the difference between a junior developer and a senior developer. And like the difference is really
The difference is more that the junior developer thinks they need to know everything, and a senior developer knows that they don't know everything. Like, and that's the difference.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Because there's so much time that you spend building yourself up and feeling inferior and having imposter syndrome and like, I can't do that, or like the stories that you tell because you're new or whatever. But like, no, in reality, like those are just, that's just a story that you're telling yourself.
I'm 30 years into this and I'm still, am I a junior developer? Yeah, probably. I don't know. But that's just how I feel. Cause you know, I think that senior developer level isn't so much about what you know, it's knowing who to ask and knowing where to find solutions. Yep. That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. Well, let's go back into sort of the origin story a little bit. When you presented at WordCamp Utah, I'm just going to say that it was Utah.
It was in Utah.
It was definitely in Utah, for sure.
In Utah.
When you presented, you were, I believe, one of two members of the agency you were running at the time, Nine Seeds. I think it was just you two, right? And I think that was the year where you had just decided to go WordCamp hopping. So talk about Nine Seeds, talk about getting that sort of up and running, and then also the experience of kind of doing a Grateful Dead experience touring all the different WordCamps.
You couldn't have put that better. That was spot on. Sleeping on people's couches, like the whole works. I was in a corporate job right before while I was kind of really diving into WordPress itself. And I'd been using it for a few years. And I say that at that corporate job, I worked there 10 years. 9 years were amazing. Last year, I would have chewed my arm off to get out of there. And then we ran WordCamp Vegas that first year, the very first year. And it was very much a light bulb moment. Like, oh wait, there's like, I can maybe do something else aside from that other thing. And so it was me and my buddy Todd and then Shane Sanderson, the three of us, we all basically quit our jobs and just started Nine Seeds. And you know, I think that the idea of like traditional advertising, like trying to do Google ads or like running ads anywhere, like just never really felt like what we wanted to do. And I really loved the community aspect of just going to like a WordCamp and meeting people and chit-chatting. Like I had so many great conversations just that first year, even while I was running around like a madman, just trying to organize that first event. I still had so many great conversations with people that I'm like, I don't think we should advertise. I think the way that we advertise is we go to as many WordCamps as we possibly can. We speak and we sponsor at as many WordCamps as we possibly can. And we just keep doing it. We just keep doing it. And we went to like that first year. The first year, it wasn't really the first year. The first year was pretty mellow. Like we probably went to, you know, a handful, but like the second year, I don't know if you know this, but I did WordCamp Phoenix and WordCamp New York in the same weekend.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Those are not two cities that are close together.
No.
So you know. Yeah. And, but I'd already agreed to do Phoenix and New York says, hey, you know, would you like to come and speak? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to miss New York. That sounds like a pretty huge event.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I just met so many people, and that was really our entire advertising idea. Like that's how we wanted to do it. And, I love teaching people, and I've always felt like when you teach somebody something, they remember that and they love you forever for it. And that's what we found. We would just go from town to town to town and speak and talk and chit chat and go to the after parties and hang out. And yeah, it was great. It was fantastic.
And like WordCamps are, often not close together, as evidenced by Phoenix and New York. The travel is not necessarily cheap. And the time to get there, and the time that you're there, and then like the sort of I mean, I feel like I have like a little bit of a hangover on my way back home from a WordCamp. So like, how, I'm assuming that you were still able to work, but like obviously like there's all of these different factors. Like, how did that factor into that sort of like whirlwind tour of the United States via WordPress?
Well, it was easy. We weren't making any money at the time, so all we could do. Now it was, it is, it's challenge. Yeah. I will say that I learned a lot from that whole process, because like now, if I travel anywhere, I almost always schedule either come back on Saturday, or, you know, come back home on Saturday so that I've got Sunday to kind of recoup, or take that first day off. Just don't schedule anything, and then just kind of ease yourself back in, because it's exhausting. Like the lead up, you know, especially if you're speaking, you know, you're prepping slides, like that's a week of your time to do that.
At least. Yeah.
And then afterwards you have that hangover, that downtime where you need to recoup. You need to, you know, the conversations, you want to kind of like replay those conversations in your head and distill those down into like, not just, I want to reach out to this person, but hey, I have this conversation with that person, and really those two people need to meet. That's one of my favorite things. I love connecting people. Like, yeah, I want you to come to me if you need the services that I need, but just as important to me is like, if I can find somebody that is a perfect client for you, that feels just as good. Mm-hmm. And that stuff comes back to you. Like we did that for years. You know, we were passing projects back and forth between different agencies. I'll tell you a story. I was at WordCamp it was WordCamp San Francisco at the time, or WordCamp US, if you go back far enough, right? And so somebody knew that we were there from Nine Seeds. And so he had come up to me and he's like, so, you know, how many of these people here are your competition? And so I kind of look at the room and I'm like, well, everybody and nobody, right? A project that was like, you know, Web Dev Studios was doing these gigantic projects. That wasn't us. Like, that was not something that we just weren't going to be able to handle at that time, right? Yeah. Like, we weren't going to go take on a six-figure project. That would have probably buried us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like the $3,000 to $5,000 to $7,000 project, we were crushing those. So yeah, like that's the thing. Like, you, everybody, like, introduce people to the right people, and good stuff happens. That's all.
How did you come to WordPress in the beginning? Like, how did that become the thing for you and then for Nine Seeds?
I was blogging before WordPress, and I was like writing straight HTML into a text editor and uploading files, and oh man, it was painful. And then I started going through, so I was doing that originally, and then like different CMSs started coming about, and I hopped around and I hopped around and I just kept finding them. And I felt like all I really was doing was spending all my time converting my content from one thing to another thing to another thing. And I actually found WordPress about 3 months after it came out. A guy that I was working with at that corporate job actually introduced me. He's like, I think this is something that you might like. And it was easy, and it was kind of the easiest of the tools that I had used. And I mean, back then it was, you know, very, very thin on features, right?
Yep.
But it did what I needed.
Yeah.
And so I was doing that, and I was just doing that for a while. And then it started being like, hey, I wonder if I could make it do this other thing. And then themes came out, and then plugins came out, and then like all of these things. And it just kind of really set in. And then of course I started meeting the community. Right. Mm-hmm. And because there was a community that I could ask questions to and get answers from, like that was so far ahead of where some of the other ones were. So even in the early days, there was, you know, there was people that you could ask. So that's kind of how I found and kind of how it became entrenched. And then once I started making changes for myself, and other people were like, hey, could you make these tweaks for mine? And oh, sure. And I was charging them very little to do it and doing it for friends and family. And all of a sudden it was just buried. And then once it really got going, then at that point there was just no way I was going to change course. There was just, if you're going to be an agency, you could be an agency that says, you know, we work in any platform, and that's great. And that's fine. But man, being a specialist and having people come to you, like, you have all of that built-in knowledge from the 10 projects you just finished.
Yeah.
That's hard to beat. So yeah, I just, there was just never, once it got to that point, there was just never the thought of trying to be a generalist and do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. What things did you like, what impact did going to all of the camps and talking about as many of them, like everybody talks about, or a lot of people talk about how WordCamps don't really have an ROI, a return on investment, right? You sponsor or you speak, and maybe you get some, like a little bit of like name recognition, but really it's more about like speaking from a company that sponsors WordCamps, it's more about a brand awareness thing rather than like a direct lead sort of thing. Was that true for you back then? Has that changed over time? Have you like watched that evolve? Like, what was your experience when you kind of came to the end of this year and sort of reflected on it? What did you sort of notice?
Yeah, it's hard to, you're not going to go to a WordCamp, especially in another city, right? I'm not going to go to Salt Lake and then just come back with like five leads that turn into projects. That's not typically the way that it works. But you go to these things, you go to the after parties, you talk to these people. And I will tell you that my favorite thing that happened in that first year, and it was probably pretty late into the year, was somebody filled out our contact form. We hop on a call, and I would always ask people like, how'd you find us? And they're like, oh, so-and-so told me about you. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know who so-and-so was. I had never heard of so-and-so. Mm-hmm. They had just happened to be at an event where I was speaking. They remembered that, hey, this guy talked about this thing. Then they found somebody who said that they needed that thing. And they, again, making those connections. That's what it's about. They were doing the exact same thing. They had two different contacts from an event. So yeah, that's what there is. I don't think you can go and say WordCamp Chicago 2012 netted me X amount of dollars, because that number is zero, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not zero over the long enough time. Like it's not zero. It's connections. It's people. And those people, WordCamp Chicago, perfect example. I think that's where I ended up meeting Brad and Lisa from Web Dev Studios separately, because they weren't working together at the time.
Right.
And then I ended up working there.
Yep.
Many, many years later. So I don't know. Is that ROI?
Yeah. Right. I mean, right? That's the thing. Is it's my experience has been it's sort of this intangible, almost like just a vibe. My first experience with Pantheon was, I think, really from meeting them, meeting the DevRel team at LoopConf, which was in Salt Lake City that year, and talking to them, I talked to everybody because I would go booth hopping, right? And that was a small enough event that you could sort of like talk to all of the different vendors. And Pantheon stuck out to me as being different because they kind of knew, like they knew where I was coming from. I had also like done lots and lots of tech support and like early on in my career. So like I have this like radar for like knowing when people like get that I know what I'm talking about versus people that are treating me like the tier one support person who like, you know, we give the same answer to everyone sort of thing. Right. Because I always try to do when I was doing support and I was on tier one for like, I don't know, 3 months and then I was on tier three. So like, I tried to like figure out pretty quickly, like how deep can I talk to this person on a technical level? Just based on the things that they're telling me. Right. They got it and they gave me like a free account or whatever. And I started playing with it a little bit. And, then like years later, I would, I actually use them, or like, you know, years later, like I'm looking at, like, they have a job posting and I'm like, okay, like it's from like those sorts of like in-person like things, like that being able to like meet them in person, like gave the impression like these people know what they're talking about, that led to like later on when something, an opportunity, it comes up, like, oh yeah, I'm going to think about them. And what I've observed from since being here is like there was a period of time where we weren't sponsoring, and then the sort of like sentiment, the general, is like we sort of fell off the radar, right? And so like one of the things that I've been trying to do is like, let's get us back in the conversation, let's go to the things, let's make ourselves known. And I think that it's really helped, and I think that it's really just, it's a vibe thing. it's hard to like you can't quantify vibes.
I don't think it's ROI, right? It's ROC, it's return on connection. Like that's what
there you
is.
Go
yeah
so. Well, you've been in this space for a really long time. Talk about like how your sort of like path through WordPress and through these different like agencies has sort of like evolved over time, and the sorts of things that you've kind of like been drawn to.
So after Nine Seeds, I left Nine Seeds to go work at a startup, and that startup exploded. I worked at a different startup. That one, I don't remember what happened. I ended up working at three startups in a row, and one of them was a casualty of COVID, basically, and that's how I ended up getting laid off. And then luckily, I got picked up by one of that company's clients, and I worked there, which was another startup. And you know, I think it's. For me, one of the things that was happening was after I left Nine Seeds, where I had a team and I was working on WordPress with people all the time and sharing information back and forth and learning from people. That was amazing. That was an amazing time. And then when I went into the startup, I was actually doing WordPress for a specific company. And that was a totally different animal, right? Because I'm not trying to learn everything under the sun. I'm just trying to get really deep on what this one project needs. And so that was a totally different way of being involved with WordPress. And while I was doing those things, especially during COVID, I tried to keep the Las Vegas WordPress meetup going during COVID, and we were doing them on Zoom for a while, and then just everybody got Zoom fatigue. And we ended up having like the same six people come every month, and I wasn't teaching anybody anything. So I really got burned out on it myself because I also had Zoom fatigue. Right. So I totally backed out, and I, like you said about Pantheon, I feel like I just disappeared off the face of the earth. Right. Which is weird, especially for somebody like me, because I love chatting. I love talking to people. Like that's what I do. And so all of a sudden, I really wasn't doing a heck of a lot of that. And so after going from startup to startup to startup, where I was, again, just that like insulated developer, and then I got laid off about a year and a half ago, but I had been doing some things, and I decided, you know what, I don't want to go get another job. So I've actually just been running my own agency again, but now it's Vegas Geek. And so I've been doing that by myself. Well, no, I can't say it by myself. That's not true. I have helpers for the past, you know, almost 2 years now. And I love it. It fits again. But in doing that, what ended up happening was a while back, even though I'm having great conversations on Slack and chit-chatting with folks, a while back, I'm sure you know Brandon Dove and Jeff Zinn from Pixel Jar, right? Mm-hmm. So Brandon and I were both really getting into automation, like N8N and things like that. So we were having these conversations, and we're like, we should do something a little more solidified. And so we picked a day of the week, and once a week, like, we just started meeting and just talking and learning and sharing, and like that felt so good again, because it felt like it had just been so long since I was in that learn and share mode, right? Mm-hmm. And so now that's actually grown. We've kind of, it's no longer just the automation stuff. Like, we're back to talking about projects and development and, you know, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on under the hood in WordPress these days. So like, we're diving into that stuff and talking about projects and how they work together. And so, yeah, it's going into that time where I felt like I was just so far removed from the community, after kind of like during an ending of COVID, like during all of that, to now kind of coming back into it and, you know, trying to re-engage and be involved online and with other folks just feels so good. It feels like I needed this, and I'm glad to be bringing that back.
Yeah. So like a virtual meetup sort of like hangout kind of thing. Yeah.
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 But not something that I have to run and produce. Like, I don't have to make slides and I don't have to, you know, I'm not preparing anything. We have a Kanban board where we just throw topics on it during the week. We're like, oh, hey, let's talk about this. And we do, we just jump on and talk about it. And it's great.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I feel like that's really important. Particularly when you are sort of in the small agency or sort of like solo dev kind of mode, because it's very easy to be sort of isolated and out on your own island, and not know what other people are even doing, because you're so just you're grinding and you're trying to get your own shit done, and it's hard to keep track of all the things. So it's good to have sort of a designated space to have other human contact.
Yeah, it was probably like 3 or 4, maybe 5 weeks in, where I got off the phone and I was just like, there's so much value here. Like, just so much value to be had just in a 1 hour conversation. And I mean, you know how it is. You wake up Monday morning, you got a bunch of stuff to do, then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and Thursday, and then all of a sudden you're back to Monday again. And if you don't set aside these times to like do it, it's very easy to go 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks without talking to anybody, without having any like meaningful conversations where you are learning something. Like, you know, even we just even talk about things like, what are you using for passing credentials when it's needed? What are you, you know, just because if you're by yourself, yeah, you can go ask the internet. Yeah. You can go ask GPT, all of those things. But I really want to know, like, how did you solve this? Like, what worked for you? Because there's 5,000 ideas online, sure. But what are you actually putting in practice? And that's way more valuable than any ChatGPT result.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and for you, Vegas Geek is a name that you've held on to. I mean, I knew you as Vegas Geek before I knew that you were John, right? Like, you
were... right, sure.
it's an online persona that has existed for forever, but now you're using it as a company, So, is there a difference between for you between having Vegas Geek as sort of like your own sort of personal online identity versus now it's like a brand?
Right.
Or do you think about that?
Funny you should say. I have been wanting to get the domain name johnhawkins.com for 30 years, and I got it like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Yeah. And part of it has to do...
I'm never going to get chrisreynolds.com.
Right. Turns out if you pay enough, you will.
Oh, like, yeah. Well.
Yeah. So, for me, what I was realizing is, you know, my Vegas Geek, I only had one email, john@vegasgeek.com. And it was great. It was fantastic. And then all of a sudden I had one for one client and I had one for another client. And then now I had like 8 emails and I was like, okay, if I'm going to have this many that I need to deal with, like, what I really should be doing is I should be breaking apart that Vegas Geek, John Hawkins thing, not only at the email level, but at the bigger level. There's stuff that I want to write about. Like, I want to blog about different things. And do they fit for Vegas Geek? Is that is that right? Right. Do I want to talk about board games and whatever, like, you know, my guitar? I don't know. Probably not. So maybe there does need to be. So just over really just over the past couple of months, I've really started putting in a effort to go, okay, Vegas Geek is the brand. I need to do that. So I'm going to just start retooling things, the website, content, et cetera, social media stuff. And I'm just going to break the two apart because Vegas Geek is growing and it's turning into a little thing that it's its own thing that isn't me.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And I'm pretty stoked about that, really, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, you know, when you and I kind of entered the internet was a very different time where you basically didn't give your name out online. Right. I don't know if it was paranoia. I don't know if it was like there were fewer security things. Maybe it was all of the above. It was just a natural thing to your name is not a thing that is now it is public domain. And now that's really shifted. Where everybody just like their name is everywhere and you can look people up by and see, you know, the various different John Hawkinses on the internet. So I think that, you know, to a degree, the way that I internalize it is like seeing Vegas Geek is part of that sort of like internet founding kind of beginnings.
Yeah. It was my persona. It has been my persona. It is my persona. Like that's not going away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. Like that's, I don't know that that's necessarily, I have the word geek tattooed right here. So I mean, this is not, like, I've been a geek my entire life. And so, when I moved to Vegas, like Vegas Geek was just kind of this cool thing. And like, I just really dove into it and
got the IP early.
I did. Yeah. And I don't know. It kind of felt more like, you know, like, because especially when you're doing like handles and stuff like John Hawkins, if you're not like day one, when a platform launches, you're just not getting it. Right. Yeah. So you come up with something and I did want something that, that I could then own all of. Right. So that's kind of how that all, that's kind of how that all started, really. And then, you know, all of a sudden you look up and it's been 20 years. How's that happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And, you know, again, now I feel like maybe John Hawkins can be his own thing again.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
What are some things, especially as you're getting back into more solopreneur-ish type world, what do you feel like you've learned from like running an agency, working at agencies, but now working again for yourself? Like, what are things that that you've taken away from that journey, or that like other people could maybe pick up from mistakes that you've made or things that you've learned along the way?
Man, mistakes that I've made. How much time you got?
20 minutes.
Fair enough. Okay. Now I will, you know, early on, I never wanted to host for people. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to be the host for people. And what happened was over time, people would be like, oh, you know, my hosting sucks. Can you just do it for me? And I always said no, because I didn't want to be the phone call at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I will also say that at the time, like way back when, I didn't know nearly enough. And I didn't know enough people to make it so that I could actually do hosting for people and make it secure and strong and fast and all of those things. And so because of that, because I had that stance kind of early on, you know, so much of our work early on was bring a client in, do their project, push them out the door, good to know ya, adios.
Yeah.
I hate that now. I hate it. I have turned my thoughts on that around so much. Every single time I am working on a project now, I am thinking about recurring revenue. What services can I offer? Don't just, you know, yeah, you can build somebody a website. That's great. But how do you turn that into a package that you can then continue on with? Now, I'm not an SEO guy, but I know a guy. So he and I are working together now where we can now together offer some SEO services. I'm not going to do that because SEO is its own thing. But anything that you can do to bring in that recurring revenue, because I tell you what, all you need is two bad months where no leads come in the door and, you know, things start getting pretty scary. What was the saying? What was, I heard a saying somewhat recently that like, you know, most people are two bad months away from being homeless, where are further or closer to being homeless than they are from being from 2 good months making them millionaires.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's just, that's where we live these days. And so having that base, even if it doesn't cover everything, even if it gets close, but it's something that you could at least pay the rent, get some food, you know, having that was huge. And so when I did get laid off 18 months ago, I had already been working on building that recurring revenue for about 5 years leading up to that. So when that happened, I didn't wake up the next morning going, oh shit, now what?
Yeah.
I just kind of dove back into work. And then what I started doing was, what other services can I offer the people that I'm already connected with? And then as I'm doing that, I started telling people, hey, you know what? If you have other people in your network, tell them about me and I'll give you a month of hosting and maintenance for free, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. Like anything that you could do just to get people to say your name in another room was huge. So that right there, if you learn nothing else, like just figure out a service that you can offer and dive in.
I had the same opinion when I started, when I was freelancing. I never wanted to get into hosting. I ended up doing it for a couple people, but I wasn't like hosting them. I was just like managing their hosted stuff, which is
exactly
also not a thing that I want to do, like really, like certainly not at the time, and certainly not at the time when, like, you know, this person over here has GoDaddy and this person over here has like Bluehost and this person over here has Dreamhost. Like if it was going to be my choice and everybody's going to be under one roof and I manage you all in the same way and the same you know. But also, like, you know, we're talking old school, like before the WP engines and before, I mean, Pantheon was around maybe, but maybe not even doing WordPress at the time. Like, there weren't like these sorts of companies that would give you a lot more tools to help you maintain those sites.
Right.
It was all like, you know, what was it? Infinite WP, I think, is the thing that I used, where it was like a little app that connected to all the other sites that I was managing, that I could hit a button and then it would run updates on everybody else's site. Like that was how you did it, and because I didn't want to have to log, and that was like groundbreaking. Like when I discovered that and
started
using that, like, oh my god, this is amazing.
I just got back so many hours in a day. So great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like again, like to your point, like I remember when I joined HumanMade, they had built their own cloud infrastructure on AWS, and I was like, I never wanted to do this, but I also obviously see the value, because it's exactly what you say, like being able to do that ongoing recurring revenue, and being able to like say, like, no, we actually have a thing that we've tuned really well and have people who know how to do it, like, more power to you. Like, go do that thing, because that is a very specific skill set to do it right, versus just like, yeah, I've got my thing hosted on Bluehost and like I pay them $5 a month or whatever and hopefully it works.
Yeah. So for me, I actually I typically don't tell people that I do hosting up front. That's not what I do. What I instead do is I say, by the way, I will do your monthly maintenance where I'm going to take care of all your stuff. It's basically like white glove. You're going to pay X amount of dollars a month for that. And by the way, I'll host your site for absolutely free. your hosting is free. But while you're with me, you are always paying a maintenance fee. Mm-hmm. And the whole reason is there's no sites that are in my ecosystem that are not getting updates every couple of weeks, not, you know, all of those things, like, you know, one thing on your site, on your server goes completely sideways, and, you know, then what, right? Yeah. So yeah, I really was picking and choosing as I was going along with it. And so I'm only bringing on people, and I'm only working with people who they're not looking for $5 a month hosting, or, you know, that's because, believe me, I'm way more expensive than that. And yep. I tell people right up front, I am the most expensive hosting option that you are going to find. But I don't care. If you don't want the services that I have, that's totally fine. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to work with you on your situation. But, you know, when you say, why is my site so slow? And I say, well, I offered you 4 solutions and you didn't want those. That's a different conversation.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely something that I would have appreciated hearing at the time that I was doing that. I was working with one of my clients was a lawyer. So my very first web design job was through a company that was local in Utah. And they were basically just hired a ton of contractors, and they just like did like commodity websites. Like, you would call them and you say, I have this thing, I need a website. And they would answer like a survey or something and maybe give a logo or some, you know, stuff. Right. And then it would like feed off to like, they had some in-house designers and they had a bunch of like contractors. And we would contact them. We had to get like a special headset and whatever, all this stuff. So I did that for like a year. And then one of the people that I worked with in the course of that was a lawyer in New York. He was a criminal lawyer. He was a really cool, guy. And he ended up leaving that company because they were kind of a pile of shit. And there's a whole story about them too. Like the co-founders ran off with a bunch of money. Like, it's a whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. Utah.
Oh, boy.
anyway, he got out before that happened, which is good for him. But he, when he left, them, he contacted me separately. He was like, hey, would you want to still do this stuff? And then he asked me, what's your retainer fee? Cause, and that was the first time I'd even like heard that phrase. I'm like, what is a retainer?
Please hold. Let me go look that up. Ooh.
So I gave him something really, like, really low because I didn't know what the hell I was doing at the time. It was like $20 right. a month or something. But he just like, okay, great. I'll pay you on a retainer. I probably won't need very much, but every once in a while, that means that I can contact you and you can do whatever. And it was, I mean, $20 is nothing, but $20 is $20. Like, it's something, yeah. and it was something that was recurring, and like, yeah,
it was probably like that starting point for you of like, wait a second, hold the phone, I can do this.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Retainers were something that I avoided for years as well because I'm an idiot apparently. I don't
exactly.
know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Now, like, absolutely, and what I tell people with retainers is, you know, it's not that you're like, what you're doing is you're basically jumping to the front of the line. Mm-hmm. That's what that you're paying this, and you are basically jumping to the front of my queue every single time.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, that is, if you have the right people that, if you find the right people that need that or just want that comfort level, that's gold.
Well, and the other part of that is
it's not just gold for you though. It's gold for them.
It also keeps you in the conversation. It keeps you in their head, and it keeps like every month they have to send you something, right? Even if they don't, even if they didn't talk to you, which means that they're thinking about you at least every 30 days, which means that when something does come up, they're not going to be thinking of somebody else. They're going to be thinking of you because you're the person that they've got the agreement with. Yeah,
exactly. And that again, that goes right back to speaking at WordCamps and teaching somebody something.
Yeah.
If you teach somebody something, then they come to you and ask you, hey, can you do this thing for me? And you charge them whatever you charge them. The next time, if that first interaction goes well, who are they contacting the next time? You, and only you, over and over and over again. Which, again, now this is a look behind the curtain. But again, with the monthly maintenance is just the get your foot in the door, because really what that turns into is, oh, hey, I saw this thing on your site. I can fix that for you. Sure, that's 2 hours this month.
Yep.
Maybe it's an hour next month or three the next. Maybe it's nothing for 6 months. And then they're like, hey, we need a redesign. Is that something that you can do? Yes, it is. And they're only going to be coming back to you. So that's where it's, you're doing that service for somebody on a recurring basis. And you are, you're keeping yourself in that conversation, and they're just not going anywhere else. They've got no reason to. And as long as you don't screw it up, they're not going to.
And that's the moral of this episode. Don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up.
Well, thank you, John, for coming on. For anybody who might not know where to find you online, which is obviously VegasGeek.com, but besides that, where can people find you in the internet or in real life?
I don't exist in real life. I don't know if you know that, but true. But VegasGeek.com is probably the go-to. And who knows, maybe by the time this airs, JohnHawkins.com might be a thing. Who knows? We'll see.
Are you planning on going to WordCamp US in Phoenix next year?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's going to be very warm.
But here's the thing. I'm already in Vegas. So
I know, right? It's not going to be that much different. That's why for you, it's like a little bit. It's less of a drive for you than it is for me. It's already like you're already blisteringly hot. Like, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't go outside. That's why I said we don't exist. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I might. So much of it just depends on timing and what's going on.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it's in Phoenix does make it a little more tempting because it is closer.
Yeah.
The ones that are across the country, again, these days, I don't have somebody footing the bill. I've never had somebody footing the bill, by the way, I should say. I pay for it myself, so I really have to consider justify that ROC.
Return on
connection.
Return on connection. Thank you. Yes. All right. Great. I love that. I think that's a good place to end. Thank you again for coming on, John. Thank everyone who might be watching or listening to this in the future. And for everyone, I will see you on the internet.